Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hello, friends. I hope you're having a great summer so far. It's hot. Joe, do you have any big summer plans for your family and church? What you guys up to?
Well, we are in the middle, as far as the church is concerned, we're in the middle of working on relaunching into Surry Hills officially. And so with COVID starting to really start to chill out, things are starting to open up. We're able to bring the church together, doing good old school church picnics at the parks and that kind of thing. But, you know, some of the plans that we really hope to have as a family is get to the lake and just take a long weekend, rent a boat, and just go out buzzing around on the lake, jumping off some cliffs and that kind of thing. We did that last year, and it was a ton of fun.
Wait. Did you say jumping off of cliffs?
Oh, yes, sir.
Jumping off of cliffs?
Yes, sir.
Does the whole family participate in this activity?
The whole family. Even little Lily at 9 years old, she's jumping off these 20-foot cliffs. I've been real impressed with her.
Well, Lillian, the Lillian I know, I could totally see her being first and Joe, the dad, being last. Like, I don't know about this, but that sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, Joe, in this episode, I interview Pastor Grant Forsythe. He pastors GC, and I always struggle with this name. It's Kenoki, right?
Kenoki.
Why? I just have a mental block with Kenoki. It's. I mean, once I say it, it sounds easy, but I so struggle every time. GC Kenoki, and for those of you who don't know, it's a thriving metropolis in Michigan. And what we're going to be talking about is the impact of Connect groups and what they have on the congregation. And Joe, I know your church has several Connect groups running simultaneously. So what would you say as a pastor has been the biggest impact these groups have had on your church?
I can really sum it up in two words: authentic relationships. This past spring, I was actually leading a Connect group, and there were two individuals in this particular Connect group that they actually openly confessed about their initial skepticism of being in the group. They told me, hey, when you first brought this up, we really didn't want to be a part of it. We didn't think that there was great value. But then they continued on saying that they found such great value in being in the group. And one of them mentioned the value of the curriculum that we were going through. He found great value in what we were actually going through. But then the other actually mentioned the value of being able to connect deeper with people that they didn't know. I actually gave a sermon recently about knowing, and I shared that there's a difference between knowing of someone and really knowing someone. And these Connect groups has given us the space to really know someone, which is authentic relationship, brother.
I really know you, Joe, and I'm glad that I do. You're a good friend, and I'm excited to see and hear about what the Spirit is doing there in Surry Hills. And before I go any further, I want to apologize to all the good people of GC Kenoki, because I am going to get that name down by the end of the summer. I promise. Challenge me on it. But we love you up there in that congregation.
Absolutely.
Thank God for Connect groups. And so without any further waiting, let's jump into the conversation that I had with Grant Forsythe. I hope you enjoy this episode just as much as I did. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I'm grateful to be interviewing Grant Forsythe. Grant is the pastor of Grace Communion Kenoki in the great state of Michigan. I had to think about it again, Grant, as I wanted to say it. I've never been to Kenoki, but I want to see it for myself one day. Today, we're going to be talking about Connect groups and how they function to support overall church life, the Faith Avenue, and the vision of healthy church. Grant, thank you for joining the pod. But before we get into the topic at hand, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And maybe share with us a book you've read recently that could be a good resource to our listening audience.
Sure, I'd love to. Thanks, Anthony, for inviting me. This is a real pleasure just to be able to be part of this. I'm very grateful. So a little bit about myself. I am, as you said, pastor of a place called Kenoki. You know, most people
Kenoki.
Think Kenoki. I mean, I get asked that all the time. Where on earth is Kenoki? I'm trying to put it on the map, though. It's a little sleepy rural community. We're surrounded by farmlands out here. And so it's a rural church, but it's been a real exciting venture. I'm kind of a late in life pastor. You know, I answered the call in 2012 and ended up retiring from my regular duty to become pastor. And I'm a husband of my wife, Kathy. We have four adult kids and a couple of adult stepkids with families. And we have wonderful neighbors here. We're in a community that is very, very connected as a community, which really helps, you know, to start with. And so, you know, I enjoy pastoring the church, made lots of friends and connections here in the community. It's been real exciting to see things happen, but it's only by grace of God, you know, the grace of God that things are moving as they are, because he's really doing the work and we're just excited to be part of it. In terms of a book, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, I've just recently read a book by Lee Strobel. It's because I love apologetics. I'm kind of a geek on that kind of stuff. And so his book, The Case for the Real Jesus, is really a powerful apologetics book. And I recommend that to anybody who gets encountered with, you know, who is this Jesus anyways? And, you know, just a wonderful read, very encouraging. Mm. So,
well, Kenoki sounds like a pastoral setting, and we are all grateful that you answered the call back in 2012 to pastoral ministry. So let's get into it. In the big picture, why is Connect Group ministry important to your church, to the faith avenue of a local congregation?
Well, that's a great question, Anthony. It's important because if all we do is gather for our weekly Hope Avenue Sunday, which, you know, is wonderful. It's a great shot in the arm. It's a great experience. We have what we call Happy Sunday. You know, I'll shout out Happy Sunday. Everybody answers back Happy Sunday. We've had people say it's the favorite day of the week, but as wonderful as that is, it's not enough. It just isn't enough. In order to grow our faith, in order to grow our faith in our relationship with God, we really need to grow with one another, to do it together in so many ways. I really think that Jesus' command to love one another is a little difficult with a once a week gathering. And if you miss a Sunday, I mean, now you got 2 weeks. So it's so much easier to see that love play out by gathering more often. Whether it's for a Bible study, a discipleship group, some other gathering, we grow together. And I think that's what Jesus intended for us. The other thing is we need to get people talking and sharing about their faith. With our history and with the DNA of Grace Community International, you know, we've been pretty good about discipling in terms of intake, or in other words, you know, the academic side of things. But when it comes to sharing all of that, we've often come up short. You know, our evangelism is hurt because we struggle to share with other people. We want to make disciples, but we want to make disciples who make disciples. And so I think Connect Groups is a way of getting us together to talk and to share and just to learn how to do that. Now, we had to make a tough decision ourselves to switch from a Bible study format, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with a Bible study format, but it's a little bit more of a teacher to student kind of discipleship. We switched to a small group format, and that's to get people talking, not to have the right answers, but by talking about sharing their experiences in life. And that made a big difference. That made a huge difference for us once we started to do that. So had a big impact.
Well, let's talk about that impact and the huge difference it made. As I understand it, your congregation has four of these groups concurrently running, which is fantastic in our context. So will you tell us more, especially, you know, you mentioned early on that we've had an academic approach sometimes to discipleship. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk about more of the relational impact that these Connect groups have had on your congregational life.
Yes, absolutely. That's a tremendous thing. It's really pretty simple. It's created some excitement and, you know, synergy, a sense of anticipation. People are getting closer. And, you know, people can say, I have friends at church. And, you know, when you can get to the point where you can say, I have friends at church, you see, now you're connecting to one another. So many people come through our doors and they've never experienced this. Some have, and they miss it, but most have not experienced this kind of thing at church. For others, you know, we get people that come through the doors and they look like the wounded coming in off the battlefield. You know, they're looking for answers. Their life is upside down. And having a way to plug people into a small group, a connect group, it's a perfect way to minister to those needs. And, you know, even if they weren't intending on making those kind of connections with others, it just happens. Relationships happens when you're sharing these things. It's the results. They're fantastic. The other thing that the group experience is helpful, it's a way to plug in people who maybe aren't even interested in coming to church. This can be friends, coworkers, neighbors that you invite to come. And before you know it, they make new friends. And often that leads these new friends back to church for Hope Sunday. And so, you know, it becomes a connection point that comes back to the church. Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression. We've got plenty of gaps to fill yet. We don't have everything in place yet, mm-hmm. like team leaders and for the avenues and that. But here's something that I'm seeing right now with our groups. I see leaders that are emerging from the Connect group setting. In other words, people that they don't even realize they have these skills and that they might not even know about. And so I'm finding that when it comes to finding leaders, that the Connect groups are some of the best ways because you get people talking. It's not about having the right answers. It's about sharing life. It's about supporting one another. It's about making friends. Those are the kind of connections that really last. You can have the academic setting. You know, Bible study is wonderful. Having some answers is a powerful thing. But I got to tell you, the relationships that are made and the friendships that are made, they're very powerful. People notice. People want to get on board with that. It's a tremendous evangelistic way to get people talking and connecting together. It's been really great for us, Anthony.
Sounds like it's contagious in the right kind of ways, right?
Yes.
And so you're talking about I've got friends at church and I'm making friends through these groups. Can you personalize that for us? Can you share a story, mm-hmm. maybe a personal story of how somebody has been blessed by sharing life together through these Connect groups?
I got to narrow it down to one. I'll give you an example. My wife, Kathy, she's leading one of these Connect groups, but what had happened, she tried for several years to drum up interest in, you know, for a woman's Bible study in our neighborhood where we live. And, you know, nobody was interested. I think people are intimidated by that. She got no takers. She was a little discouraged by that. But she got the idea of having a book club. And there were a couple women in the neighborhood who, you know, already started coming to church, which was exciting. But she shared the idea with them. And then she started inviting several women around us. And right away, she got like 7 women, 8 including herself, that said yes. Now, some of these ladies didn't know each other, but, you know, by sharing a book together, they chose Max Lucado's book, When God Whispers Your Name. And they all read a chapter, got together, began to share their thoughts. But the thing is, they began to share their life experiences. And you could tell that they really needed to do that and with an open, safe environment. And so something really as simple as a book club, it can really start, you know, new friendships. And, you know, the really cool thing is every one of those ladies now, every one of them are coming to church. They're volunteering to help out at church in various ways. I mean, who would have thought? It's been a real blessing for us. It's been a connection back to the church, and it's been a blessing to them because they've made these new friends, new connections, and now they're doing things together, you know, just fun things together. So it's been a blessing all the way around.
In a team-based and pastor-led environment, Grant, obviously you shouldn't be the one facilitating all of these connect groups. You've already mentioned Kathy is mm-hmm. leading one. Why don't we talk about the role of the facilitator of connect groups? How do you go about preparing them for this role of leadership?
Yeah. Well, it's got to start pretty simple, I've got to tell you, because most people are pretty intimidated when you start throwing around words like, you know, facilitator. But I guess, first of all, the role is simply, really, you need to get people talking, but you need to do it in a way it's in a safe, in a non-threatening way. I mean, the last thing you want is to call on people, make them feel uncomfortable. So first of all, facilitators, they need to have some relational skills. I mean, you can do, you know, training and helping, but they need to have some relational skills and be a welcoming person. But it's not the role of the facilitator to have all the answers. Okay. Some people shy away from being, you know, a facilitator. They think it all comes down to them, but it doesn't. You see, you can train facilitators to see that through modeling it, they can see that. And so I guess that gets to the second part of your question. If our listeners are familiar with the apprenticeship square, we've been talking about that in our leadership circles, where you lead and they watch, and then you let them lead while you watch, and then finally you just let them lead. And so I'm going to use an example of one of our early discipleship groups. One of them is based on Christian basics. So I would start the group off right on the right foot and then demonstrate, okay, being a facilitator. And once everybody sees that it's really just, you know, you're asking questions and the material, you know, that we're using, you're inviting comments, maybe asking somebody else to pray. Okay, everybody sees it's not that intimidating. And then I'll ask for a volunteer to lead the next session, right? And in the basic Christian principles we're using, it's just the next lesson for the week. And I'll be there. All they have to do is just do what I did. And then I just reinforce, you know, read the questions, ask for comments. And I usually get a volunteer for that. And, you know, the funny thing is the volunteer finds out they can do this. It's an eye-opening experience for them that they can be a person that can do this. And I just encourage them, you know, like with the four E's we've been talking about, you know, engage, equip, empower, and encourage, right? So I engage. I ask them, would you lead? I equip by demonstrating. I empower by you lead now, and then encourage them afterward and during. And the really neat part when I've seen this play out is the whole group ends up encouraging that leader for that week. And I get people to take turns. Okay. So they all get a kind of a chance at what this feels like. And at the right time, I empower them and say, okay, you guys got this. Okay. One of the leaders takes the group. They don't even need me there anymore. You know, write down the questions you got. I'll get back to you with that. And so that's how we've kind of gone about that little process. Now, with COVID restrictions going on and all that kind of thing, we've been kind of challenged with that. We do have one of our connect groups that meets on Zoom. But because our internet out here in the rural areas isn't very good, it's not a good option for most. So the other groups are meeting in person, you know, with all the restrictions. And I do have a few facilitators in training right now, which is exciting. The thing that I'm finding the hardest thing to find is folks that meet the FATE acronym that Mike Rasmussen was mentioning in a previous podcast. You know, I've got faithful, available, teachable, enthusiastic, but the hardest one to fill is that available. That's what I'm finding. It's not that they don't want to. They want to. It's, you know, getting folks that are, you know, for very good reasons, whether it's work-related, family-related, whichever, getting folks on board. It's been a challenge, but we got a few up and coming now. I'm getting ready to liberate them into leading these groups, and so that I can kind of back away from that process. So that's kind of what we've been doing.
Well, it's really exciting to hear about the development of new leaders in the context of these connect groups and that you have facilitators in training, that's an aspirational thing all of us can work toward. I'm curious, Grant, you know, as you've talked about the setting, it's a rule setting. You'd had a Bible study format in the past. What steps did you take as a pastor to connect the dots, to get as many people from your congregation involved in these connect group ministries? I'm sure a lot of our pastors are going, what'd you do? Tell us the secret sauce to get people engaged.
The interesting thing about we have four groups running concurrently right now. The interesting thing is they're not all using the same materials. I mentioned before, Kathy's got the book club. I've got a guys group that meets on Zoom. We've got two other groups that are using Christian Basics as the draw. So here's the deal. We get a lot of people that come through our doors that are just, you know, they're looking for answers, and they don't know necessarily at that point that it's really relationships that is going to be the biggest draw out of this. I mean, having answers is important, but it's the relationships that are built in this process, and they're looking for answers. So what I talk about at church, and I talk about it often enough, is I talk about, you know, we're going to start in a new group. It's going to be based on Christian basics. We're all starting at the same level. And what I find that there's quite a few people at church that don't necessarily want people to know their Bible literacy. I'll put it that way. They don't want people to know. Maybe they don't know their Bibles as well, because a lot of folks we get coming in from different faiths that didn't stress Bible reading, let's say. But they feel comfortable if it's a, you know, you're on the ground floor, Christian basics. We're going to talk about things like, who is Jesus? You know, why do we pray? You know, those kind of things. And so it's less threatening than, say, a Bible study. I found that Bible study kind of scares people. You know, I might have to know some things about my Bible here. And when people get in on the ground floor, everybody's in the same spot, it's a little bit more inviting for them to do that kind of connect group. If you're going to do a connect group where you're just going to get together and talk about things happening today, or families, you know, get people interested in some kind of common experience that we're all having. And I do tell people it is really important that we're doing this. It's important that we're getting together through the week. We're building each other up, because, man, do we need encouragement. And if we got to wait till the next happy Sunday, that can be a long wait if you're having a tough week. So I encourage people. We do have about a third of our congregation involved in these connect groups. And each group is averaging 6 to 7 people, which, by the way, is like the perfect size. You get bigger than that, the quiet ones stay quiet is what happens. You really want to get people talking. You want them to be comfortable talking about their faith. And so we've got the four groups averaging 6 to 7, and it's just been kind of perfect the way that has worked out. I understand, you know, that it's challenging sometimes to get people together for all kinds of various reasons, but you got to go for it. You got to try, and if you fail, you try again. But we've been successful at getting people interested in coming together. If it's something basic, simple, easy, it's not real academic, and we can just talk, and I've gotten good response that way.
I like what you said. You got to try. And if it doesn't work, you try again. And I think that's a good word for people to hear, because I have heard from time to time, well, we've done groups in the past and it just didn't really work out. And some of that could be timing. Some of it could be it was just not the right people in place. So I like the encouragement to give it another shot. And speaking of giving it a shot, I have found Connect Groups is an excellent space, not only for my congregants, but for people we are connecting with in the community. Can you speak to that a bit? Is there been any opportunity for your congregation to serve new folks from the neighborhood who find relational connection in these connect groups?
Yeah. I would say, let me tell you a fun story. Let me tell you the story about how our very first connect group got started. And maybe that'll help answer to that point. We had a woman who started coming to us from the community. It was actually our Christmas Eve service. It was in 2012, as a matter of fact. And her name is Joanne. She's not going to mind me using her and her husband's name, Tony. They hear me tell this story all the time. But she came to story. She fell in love with us at the Christmas Eve service, and we fell in love with her. But her husband, Tony, was a kind of a read my Bible at home kind of guy, okay? And so what we did, several of us, we got to know Tony by going to some of the fundraiser events that he was involved in. And we would go to the fundraiser at the local American Legion post, and we were just making connections with him so that he got to know us. And then a couple of Christmas Eves later, he came to church Christmas Eve for the first time, and he just fell in love with us. We fell in love with him, and it was him. His name is Tony. It was him that came to me one Sunday, and he said to me, he said, "We need to get the guys together. We need to be praying for this, our church family and our nation and all this crazy stuff going on." And so I just said, great, when you want to do this? And based on his timing and his availability, we invited the guys together. We got together to talk and to pray and just discuss current challenges, you know, the responses to us as Christian husbands and dads. And that's how we began our guys gathering connect group, which is still going today. I realize that connect groups are supposed to have a life cycle, but we've had this guys group going since 2012 now. And different guys have come in and come out. We invite people from the community that aren't connected to church. Hey, come on, join us for this. It's fun. And it was Tony, the new guy, who actually got this started. And it's a tremendous legacy for him. He passed away in 2017, and we miss him dearly. But I think it's the power of knowing that just one person can change the dynamics of an entire church. In our case, it started our Connect Group ministry. And you want to plug into new people, whether it's people you meet in the community, whether it's folks that stop in for church, whether it's a neighbor next door. You really do want to have either a connect group up and running so you can plug them in, or maybe that person is the person that is going to help start a new group and you're going to launch something new there. That's been our experience, and it just allows you to do that. It's been a wonderful story for us here in Kenoke.
What a powerful story. And I'm not surprised that the guy that left the positive legacy is named Tony, which is my nickname. Of course he did.
That's
what it's going to be. But no, that's fantastic. And having the flexibility as a pastor, it wasn't your idea. And that's okay to be supportive of what the Spirit seems to be launching in your context is really powerful. So let me ask you this. What advice would you give to GCI pastors who might be listening to this and still a little reluctant to kind of dive into the deep end of Connect Group ministry? You know, you've talked about how your area is very rural. It might be hard to get people together, and maybe that's what some of these pastors that are listening are facing. But just in general, what advice would you give if they are considering launching a Connect Group ministry?
Okay, yeah, sure. Look, I understand. Boy, I understand all that about being skeptical and where do you start and all that kind of stuff. We've been there. You know, there's always going to be challenges when you get people together. It might be personalities. It might be all kinds of dynamics involved. There's distance and travel involved for a lot of our groups that have, you know, long distance folks. And that's where Zoom can really help. And sometimes it just doesn't work. And, you know, you have to regroup and try again. I would say myself, I would recommend that you just might want to try something just absolutely completely different. You know, think out of the box. For example, you know, our guys group, you know, one of the things we're doing right now is we're using Zoom as the format to get together, but we use a video format like YouTube, for example, where we watch a video each week, and there's all kinds of great material out there. And then we share our thoughts and our experiences based on the material, and then we share, you know, how it affects us and so forth. Just something kind of out of the box like that. Or it could be a book club, like I mentioned earlier. That's popular. Or you can just have a social gathering around the fire ring and just talk about what is happening, encouraging one another in your walk, in your Christian walk, or just your family situations. You know, those are powerful moments that they really cement friendships. They cement relationships. And if you're going after an academic kind of setting, that's great. That's wonderful. We want to continue to grow and learn. But really, think of outside the box. How can you get people together, something you haven't tried before, that will spark some interest? And you know, it might only be two or three people. That's all right. It's a start. And once that is successful, you want to start with something that is successful. Once it is, it really can grow from there. So just try something new. You might be surprised at the outcome.
Grant, this has been very enriching. I'm proud of you. Just want to say that as a brother in the faith, as a fellow pastor, just giving it a shot and allowing these groups to be formed. And I'm sure your people are being formed in Christ through this experience. Is there anything else about Connect Groups maybe we haven't touched on that you would like to share?
I would like to maybe double back on the leadership portion of this, because I know a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, you know, we're hearing about, you know, the whole developing leaders for our, you know, different avenues and things like that. And if a lot of people are feeling maybe behind the eight ball or you know, things aren't happening the way that they would like it to, I really do want to stress the fact that in our experience, the Connect Group is a wonderful garden for growing leaders. It's planting the seed. It's seeing them sprout in ways that they themselves had no idea. It's leadership that's popping up. You're seeing it. And it's a wonderful place to grow leaders as well as friends, connections, and to show that we love one another. That was Jesus' command, that we love one another. And it's a beautiful place to do that. And so I really, really encourage our pastors out there that are struggling with this. You know, even if you're a small group yourself as a fellowship group, you know, if you have something going on during the week where you're just encouraging each other, it's just a very wonderful place for not only encouragement, but to grow leaders. And you will find that the new people that come in, just that new person, they're the best evangelist you could ever have. You know, when they get excited, they tell their friends, and you wanna grow that. You wanna have an environment where those kind of friendships are being made, and where there's excitement being made, and you want those people, and you wanna play it towards them. I know we love to, you know, grow deeper. And to grow deeper in the Word, and absolutely, that is incredibly important. But we absolutely want to kind of point towards our new folks and getting them on board and getting them excited, because that's what brings real synergy to your congregation. We've seen it. We've seen it play out. It's been exciting for us. It rejuvenates everybody. So
I'm convinced, Grant, that Connect Groups can be the feeder system for leader development for a local congregation. And that supplies leaders for the other avenues as well. It's not isolated to the faith avenue.
Yes.
You might find, as you said, a new person, talk about a Love Avenue advocate, you know, an evangelist, that they're just excited. They want to tell everybody about what they're experiencing. So it's a great way to connect the dots with the other avenues. This is, I think this is going to be very, very helpful, this entire episode, to our pastors. So thank you for all that you've offered here today. But I'm not going to let you go just yet, Grant, because we have a little bit of a tradition here where, because I get to ask the questions. I love being on this side of the microphone. I'm going to ask you seven rapid-fire questions, and what I'd like for you to do is to answer with the first thing that comes to mind. I'll try not to trip you up. These are going to be softball questions, Grant. It's going to be easy, man. So are you willing to play along?
I'm willing. I don't know about the rapid fire part.
All right, let's do this. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, baby. Yeah. Strawberry. You know, with the strawberry, you know, with the chunks of strawberry in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I can taste it.
It's one thing to get the store brand ice cream, but I remember as a kid when my parents would splurge and get Breyers and it had the chunks of strawberry, I'd be like, oh, come on. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
What historical figure do you admire the most?
Ooh, historical figure. Well, I'll tell you said rapid fire. Okay. So the first thing that came to my mind, because I'm reading early church fathers, right?
Yes.
Eusebius. Eusebius, the church historian. That guy fascinates me. He does. It's a fascinating read to read the early church fathers. So he really encourages me. He got a few things a little mixed up, but boy, it takes me right back to that day. And it's kind of fun. I'm a geek on history anyway, so that kind of explains that.
You've mentioned you're a geek twice, Grant.
We're recording
this. We got it. So are you a morning person or a night owl?
Morning. Absolutely. I'm a night snoozer. My eyes are closing by themselves by 10 o'clock.
Gotcha. What country would you like to visit?
Scotland.
Ah, good one.
Scotland. My ancestry's from there. I'd love to see the place where my grandfather grew up. Maybe do some additional genealogy connections that I haven't made yet over there. See some of the battlefields that made it in history. The great wars. And you know, the other thing that I'm fascinated about is the story of the Scottish Covenanters. If you've never heard of that, that's the great persecution against the Scottish church in the 1700s. I want to see some of the landmarks there. So I'm kind of, that would be the place I would want to go.
That's a good one. One food you should give up, but don't want to.
Ooh, a food that I should give up.
Strawberry ice cream?
Man, yeah. No, because no, I should not give that up. No. I'm going to have to say just sweets in general, except for ice cream. Sweets in general. You know, I get a draw once in a while, but I know it's not good for me, but man, just every once in a while, you know, a chocolate covered cherry or something just sounds really good.
Yeah. So. One household chore you don't like doing?
The laundry. I don't know why. It's not that hard. It's just that it's tedious, I think. I'll do dishes. I take the trash out. I do, you know, I'll even dust, but not the laundry. Laundry, no.
Gotcha, brother. And then finally, your favorite thing about being a dad?
Oh, man. It's seeing your kids, you know, now that I have adult children, seeing them grow up and being adults. You know, you worry about your kids when you're young. Mm-hmm. You know, you got that child, that problem child or whichever, and you think, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to this kid? And then you see the results of, you know, them growing up and them making choices, and it just warms your heart. And you get to tell them, you know, you get to tell them once in a while, you know, that, you know, I'm really proud of you. And you know, those are connections that'll last. They'll always be your kids, right? When I'm old and gray, I don't know how old that is. What is old? When I'm old and gray, they're always going to be your kids, right?
Yeah. So Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, Grant, thank you for being you and for taking the time to join me today. It's our practice at GC Podcast to end the show with prayer. And so, brother, if you would you please pray over our churches, our pastors, our Faith Avenue, our Connect groups, and bless us with the end of the show.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Okay, let's pray. Well, loving Father, we are thrilled. We're thrilled to be on a journey with you. And that's what it is. We're on a journey with you. You sent us your son, Jesus, to walk with us. You sent us your spirit just to be able to connect with you and your son, Jesus, and now to connect with one another. Father, we are just absolutely thrilled to be able to be part of this and to grow together and to know what you have revealing to us. Father, you've revealed to us that Connect Groups and Faith Avenue is a wonderful way for us to do church and to do things alongside of our Hope Avenue and our Love Avenue. And Father, right now, especially with all the restrictions, it's been hard. Our pastors out there, Father, all of us, we need encouragement. And Father, we're looking to you to lead us. We know you will. We know none of this is a surprise to you. And we know, Father, that you are there all the way. Just help us, Father, as pastors, as leaders. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be looking for those open doors. We know you're going to open them. Help us to look for those doors, to walk through those doors, try new things, Father. And if it's in Connect Group ministry, Father, would you just allow us all to just envision how we can connect with our neighbors, our friends, people outside the church, people inside the church, how we can love one another as your son Jesus has commanded us to love one another, Father. What a wonderful way to do that. Would you just encourage us, lead us, open the doors. We're looking forward and we are excited to what you will do in our churches, in Grace Communion International, in our home office, in our leadership there, Father. Would you just bless them greatly? And we look forward to how you will do that because we know you will. It's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our friend, Father, the one we connect with today and every day. In the name Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Joe, we heard Grant talk clearly about how Connect Groups can be a wonderful space for leader recruitment and leader formation. So as a pastor, what are your thoughts about this?
You know, one of the things that I really liked is how Grant uses the illustration of it being a garden. Grant mentions how it's a beautiful garden to help plant seeds, cultivate, and allow people to grow into the leader God created them to be. And the reason why I like that illustration so much is we didn't create the seed. We didn't create the soil. We didn't create all the things to help this seed of leadership and individual to grow. It's all Jesus. And so we get to participate with Jesus in helping plant that seed to point people saying, hey, you got these leadership capabilities. And then to help cultivate the ground for them to even receive that seed that Jesus created for them. And then the nurturing of the growth that Jesus is doing in someone's life. I love that illustration that that he used for that.
Yeah, it's remarkable how often as you read scriptures, especially the New Testament, how we have these metaphors of agriculture. And I think there's something holy and dynamic about the growth of a plant or a flower or a crop, and to think that God is the agent for growth. And that's what we have to remember, right, Joe? I mean, it's not the Connect Group that actually causes someone to grow. It's the environment that gets nurtured that helps them grow. But it is the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, Joe, this summer, come July 23rd through 25th, is the virtual, that's right, the virtual GCI denominational celebration. And the theme is, focused on hope. Because of the virtual nature of the celebration, I've been encouraging pastors to host what we call watch parties or watch retreats with their church leaders and members. So Joe, tell our good friends in the listening audience why they should register and where they go to register.
Well, the GCI denominational celebration, though it's virtual, It will be packed full of GCI leaders sharing stories of hope found in the greater GCI family from around the world. Yes, around the world. And then there's going to be the world. Inspirational worship and some practical ministry practices through various workshops. And you can find more info and register at gci.org/events/2021.
That was gci.org/events/2021. Friends, we really appreciate you listening to the GC Podcast. If you like what you heard, let me say that again. If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help us get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.